Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, in the early hours of December the 8th, in the year 2000, 22-year-old Trevor Deeley went missing after attending an office Christmas party in Dublin city centre. A promising and very likeable Bank of Ireland employee, the young man from Naas was last sighted on CCTV outside the Bank of Ireland on Haddington Road at 4:14 a.m. A man was seen talking to Trevor. He has never come forward or been identified, despite numerous public appeals. We're joined by Michelle Deeley, sister of Trevor. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you and I have spoken before coming up or on the anniversary of Trevor's disappearance. Time heals a bit, but still you have no closure.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like time does heal, actually. It's every year I say, certainly, and I know other members of my family, that we just can't go through this again for another year, and yet we've no choice. You just have to. So I think it actually gets harder. It just gets harder every year that you're still stuck in the same place. 21 years is such, it's a lifetime. It's such a long time. So much has transpired in the world. So much has transpired in our lives, yet we are stuck in this moment in time. But, you know, what's not stuck is my parents are a year older again. It's 21 years of trauma. So our appeal remains constant in asking people to help us come forward and find Trevor.
And the images we have of Trevor as a young man, a 22-year-old man, he would be 43 today, a very different kind of individual. And that's hard to comprehend. I remember vividly at the time of his disappearance, Michelle, the incredible efforts of your family to find him, more than perhaps any other missing person. There were posters everywhere. There were people walking around the area where he was last seen, asking questions, trying to find him. It was an absolutely intensive effort, and yet nothing came of it.
I know, and I don't know that just in one way, like the support we've received all the way through, right from the very beginning, as you said, has just been incredible and remains to this day. But in one way, given, like, we've tried everything. We've tried in all jurisdictions as well, not even just in Ireland. We have tried every single thing that we possibly can and that anyone has suggested to us to try and find Trevor, and yet still absolutely nothing. And that's kind of soul destroying. It's like, you know, my parents talk about keeping hope, but it's quite hopeless to think around, well, what else do we need to do? And it's just that constant appeal to the person or persons who do know something. And we know that. We all know that. Somebody knows. That man, as you said in your intro, he has not been identified. You know, that person spoke with Trevor. That's real. It's captured on CCTV. We all know that too. So we just, my parents, as I said, are another year older. You know, it's just for no other reason than to give them some peace to just please come forward.
Now, you might remind listeners, and you know, for those of us who remember it well and good, but there are many people who maybe were very, very young at the time of Trevor's disappearance and know little about his movements that night. I mean, it was a very typical kind of December Christmas party season night out for Trevor.
Definitely. Yeah. So like we're all coming into the mode now. I know it's a different year again with COVID this year, but, you know, it was December 2000. It was a Thursday night, December 7th. He had his Christmas party with Bank of Ireland Asset Management. which was held in the Hilton Hotel on the canal there. Everyone had a great time by all accounts, and then a bunch of them went on to Leeson Street thereafter for a couple of hours. Again, very typical, lots of people out and about doing similar festive activities. And then it was a ridiculously, like, two things that are somewhat memorable. I know 21 years is a long time, it's hard to remember last week, but 21 years ago on that night, it was two things that were somewhat memorable. One, there was a taxi strike, which, you know, in one way for us as a family, that really has, I think, hindered our efforts to try and find Trevor. But there was a taxi strike, and it was really, really horrifically bad, wet and windy weather. So Trevor, when he left Leeson Street, he was living in Balls Bridge at the time, so he was passing by his office to actually walk home, because again, he had to walk, there was no taxis. And he went into his office at around 3:30 in the morning to collect an umbrella because the weather was so bad. It was at that point on entry into the through the security gates of Bank of Ireland there, just on the canal on Leeson Bridge, that this unidentified man just exchanged a few words with Trevor. He went in, Trevor, and he caught up with a colleague, had a cup of tea, you know, checked his email and collected the umbrella. And then we see him on CCTV leaving just after four. You see him zipping up his jacket. It's a haunting image. It'll never be erased from my mind. And he heads off down the canal. And then the last sighting we have is the CCTV at the top of Haddington Road around 4:14 a.m., where he is walking quite purposely through that wet and windy weather down Haddington Road towards home.
Now, he made a phone call on his way home at 6 minutes past four, when he's walking home to one of his closest friends, a man called Glenn Cullen. And Glenn didn't hear the phone ringing because he was charging downstairs. What did he say to Glenn in the message he left?
Yeah, they'd been swapping voicemails all evening, Glenn and Trevor. So, yeah, Trevor's best friend, essentially. And the message that Trevor left at that point was, "Hey, sorry, I missed you earlier. I had a great night. I'll talk to you tomorrow." Quite poignant.
Quite poignant, absolutely. So nothing amiss with Trevor at all as he struggled through the stormy weather to get home. You've probably reviewed all the theories about what might have happened to him, that he might have, been blown into the canal or whatever. None of those came to anything.
No, we've tried. As I said, I really feel like we've been exhaustive in our efforts, but clearly we haven't, because we haven't found Trevor. But yes, I mean, early days and those first kind of horrible number of days, it was very focused on the canal. And, you know, the Garda Síochána team were amazing, in their efforts there to exhaust that, as there was no sign and no trace of any umbrella or any clothing or phone or anything belonging to Trevor. And then the daughter was examined, and then it would have extended to further kind of coastline searches. And then we've been in constant touch over the last number of years, in particular, with the Forensic Science Unit in relation to unidentified bodies between us and the UK. And we've exhausted all of those avenues as well. So Trevor's DNA is lodged with the bank, and there is no unidentified body matching his DNA. It's hard to know what else to do, but to keep the appeal, you know, that heartfelt appeal to the person or person that knows something here, because I don't think there's any other way that we can actually find Trevor. We've done everything we can as a family.
And as you say, it's very unusual that a body does not turn up. If Trevor was abducted in some way, the body would have to have been disposed of, and that is no easy task. I mentioned earlier the intensive efforts of all of those friends and family who really dug deep to try and find Trevor in those early hours and days. And it turned out it was one of Trevor's friends, not the Gardaí, who discovered the footage of his last encounter, because in those days, nowadays it's digital and stuff is stored for months and months, but in those days of analogue recordings, they might only record for 24, 48 hours or whatever, and then it would be recorded over and you wouldn't have a record. But how did they discover this vital piece of information, of video?
Yeah, that was super important, because it also proved that he crossed the canal. So in that point, it was incredibly helpful. So yes, Trevor's friend worked In that industry, and he knew that you know how frequent a lot of these retail outlets would override their videotapes. So you know what we were doing those first number of days between friends and family and work colleagues, and that whole effort. Like we had buses of people helping us. It was just incredible, the support that we got. But what you know, we divided people up into teams, and some were searching, like physically searching laneways and alleyways and bushes and that type of thing. Other people were handing out posters and putting them up on the lampposts. And then there was, you know, a few of Trevor's friends that were going around to the shops and asking for the videotapes as well and just reviewing them. So you know, the guards were helping too, obviously, but we were supporting that effort. So it was through that kind of approach that video from that particular outlet at the time, it was the bank, which was a bank at the time, was discovered. Yeah. And for me, it was unmistakable once. And that's just something, you know, I think when we think about the video footage that's now online and available from when Trevor was entering the bank that night and this unidentified man, I know it's quite difficult to, you know, actually discern facial features. But for us, once we saw the video of Trevor at the top of Haddington Road as a family, we knew it was him instantly just from that kind of rear view and his gait and just his everything about him. So that we know that whoever knows that man would be able to recognize equally who he is, appreciating it's not perfect quality.
Is that video available online? Can people search it out and have a look at it?
Yes. Yeah, it's on the Garda website, as well as, you know, for better or for worse, there's a huge amount of YouTubing that's happened around Trevor's story. So it's easily available. You just need to search Trevor Daly video and you'll be able to find it.
So, Michelle, once again, as we talk, coming close to the anniversary of Trevor's disappearance, I presume you want to try to urge anyone out there who might know something, however indirect it might be, you know, odd behavior on the part of someone they were living with or were close to or whatever on that night. It's a long time ago, 21 years ago, but still they might feel now's the time to say something.
Yes, please come forward. That's all we want. It's just where he is. It's not anything else. It's literally, we just want to find Trevor. And, you know, if you could focus for those that have seen my dad or heard my dad over the years and focus on that as kind of, you know, the reason why to just come forward, like, you know, your dad needs this, mum needs this, please come forward.
Well, Michelle, once again, I thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Michelle Dealey, who's the sister of Trevor Dealey, who disappeared in Dublin after a work Christmas party 21 years ago. If you have any information at all, you can email the Missing Persons Bureau at missingpersons@garda.ie or contact any Garda station. You can also contact the National Missing Persons Helpline. That's 1-800-442-552. That's 1-800-442-552 or email info@missingpersons.ie. info@missingpersons.ie.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.